something for the weekend on Saturday. It's Trina Mara. And you know, the best thing about getting to travel again post-pandemic is that you can stock up on your books. There's nothing I love better than, you know, when you're going away and you just finally have that time to sit back and read a book. Rachel Dulieu is here talking about her new book. Rachel, you're very welcome.
Hey, Trina. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. Your debut novel was a bit of a success, really, wasn't it? Tell us about that.
Well, I published my first book, The Temple House Vanishing, just at the beginning of 2020, nominated for an Irish Book Award in the debut section, which was brilliant. But it was a strange year to be publishing. So on the one hand, it was great to have it out in the world, but you were kind of, you know, you didn't get out to kind of meet that many people or do any festivals and stuff. So it was a funny one. But then I think lots of people were reading more. So in some ways, these things work out. You know, people were looking for books, and Irish bookshops were just great at really kind of promoting new writers, because it was that bit harder to kind of get people to know about you and know about the story. But yeah, no, it was a really good experience.
I remember speaking to Patricia Scanlon. She was actually the final interview that I did right before lockdown, before the very first one. And at the time we were talking about, she was about to do her book launch. And of course, everything was cancelled. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
So how did you promote the book then when bookshops were closed for quite a while?
Yeah, well, I was lucky in that I did manage to have a launch. It's funny, it was one of those kind of last big sort of family and friends events. It was at the end of February 2020. So I did manage to be in an actual bookshop for that, which was great.
Just about,
and a lovely experience, just about. But after that, it was, you know, 3 weeks later, everything was pretty much shut down. But again, the bookshops were great. You know, they used all their social media to promote. There was a load of excellent kind of debut books out as ever. And they really kind of pushed it, and, you know, it just sort of word of mouth and put it on people's radar, even though they couldn't maybe go into the shop. You know, very grateful for that kind of support.
I know. I think there was a good few shops were doing where you could actually phone up and you could order a book and they'd post it out to you. They were doing everything within their power, weren't they?
Yeah,
I mean, these are shops
were,
that would have never done that before. And they were like, right,
no,
we're just going to do it.
And these kind of mystery packages of books, you know, if you like this book, you might like that book and stuff like that. So they were really innovative and really supportive, and it just meant, and then obviously being nominated for the award, I think probably helped as well. In terms of just people finding the book, you know.
And it boosts your confidence, doesn't it, when you're nominated for an award?
Yeah, well, it's not something, you know, when you sit on your own writing, these are not the things that you think will ever happen, really. You know, you're only kind of, certainly for me, I feel like I'm just trying to write for myself to kind of get it on the page and tell this story. So, you know, it is a major thing to sort of, when it does reach readers, or you get some nice feedback on social media, or you see it in the shop, or, you know, something like an award, it sort of, it makes it real when something's been in your head for so long.
I tell you, Rachel, if I ever had a book out, do you know what I'd be doing? I'd be like, if I was a pop star, I always say this as well, I'd be in the bookshop and I'd be moving my book to the front.
It's very tempting. I think my dad does that for me in Easton's and various shops around the place. Every time I go in somewhere, they're like, I think your dad's been in. And I'm like, oh no.
But, so they have extra staff working in the bookshops because your dad's messing up the place.
I know, my dad's my biggest sales. Yeah, it's funny, but it's great. The shops are open, thank God, for the last while.
So then you moved on to the second book. Tell me about that.
Yeah, my second book has just come out in paperback, The Beauty of Impossible Things. So it's a very summary read set in a seaside town. As you mentioned, I kind of grew up near Dunleary and I now live quite near Bray. So I'm always on the seafront. So I suppose I got my inspiration to some degree from that. But I wrote a fair bit of this in lockdown. So it was kind of how I distracted myself. I threw myself into this story about a teenager and her mother who live in sort of a kind of bohemian falling down house in a seaside town. And it's just about the events of one very hot summer 30 years ago. And she's kind of looking back on what happened and why.
The lockdown, I would say, was a great time to get stuck into writing a book. I'm sure as a writer, you have to be so self-disciplined because you're there by yourself. You're the only one who can do it.
Yeah.
But there can be distractions. Like, I don't think I'd be able for it. I'd be on the phone or looking up social media, getting distracted by absolutely anything. A cat walking by.
It's so true. But I found it was hard at the beginning of lockdown to start kind of getting back into the story, because I suppose we were kind of obsessed with the news and all of that first phase of that lockdown where everyone was really genuinely so worried and didn't know what was going on. But then after, I'd say, a couple of weeks, it was actually the peace and quiet. I just switched off once the homeschooling and stuff was done. I was like, I'm disappearing for 2 hours now. And I found it kind of an escape just to get into it. And the story itself, the central character, Natasha, sees these strange kind of lights in the sky one summer. And I think to some degree, some of the elements of the pandemic may have played in, just the kind of strangeness of the time.
Eeriness,
Kind of eerie, you know, goings on, and you're not quite sure. Did she see the lights? Did she not? What do they mean? So in a funny way, I'd say some of the mood of the time fed in, even though it's nothing to do with a plague. That kind of strange eeriness was there, I think, in the writing, you know.
So you were doing homeschooling. How do you write if there are children in your house?
Yeah, well, they're kind of grown up a bit now. I'd say it'd be a very different story if they were little. So they were kind of 10 and 12, 13 at the time. So,
oh yeah, get out and get a job.
Yeah, it was like the mornings were like, okay, mom is, you know, doing school. And then the afternoons, I just sort of switched off and left them.
Yeah. I'm not like, a parent anymore. Go off and fend for yourself.
I'm not a parent anymore.
So when you have your book printed and you're at that point, I'm sure there's huge relief. And then is it always thinking about the next one?
Yeah, definitely. I'm in the middle of writing the third one at the moment. I felt I'd written the two very closely and quick. And I did sort of last year feel I just need to kind of take a breather. And I was doing other work projects as well. I'd say I took maybe 9 or 10 months where I wasn't really writing. And then I'm sort of right back into it now, because I suppose you get very intense with the characters and you really feel like you're living with them. And for me, I just feel I then need to kind of separate from them before I can start telling someone else's story. So I've had a bit of a longer break and I think it's been good. I needed just to sort of get that perspective.
Do you get people now to have a browse in the early stages to see what they think, or do you want their opinion?
Yeah, I've a great agent who she'll look at stuff early on, and I've one other person who will look. But in general, I kind of like to do it in not secret, but just kind of hidden away, because I think it lets you be free, you know, to sort of not be worried too much. And then there's a time where you're kind of ready for people's opinions. But yeah, I've never been kind of in a book or a writing group either, because I just would have found that too nerve wracking. I know other people find that really beneficial, but I kind of just would have been too nervous about other people's opinions.
Sure, what does it matter? Anyway, I guess.
Yeah, true. Exactly. Yeah.
I always think that. Definitely. Well, the new book is called The Beauty of Impossible Things by Rachel Donahue. A great summer read. If you're packing up your books, you're thinking about your holidays, or maybe you just have a few days off, get stuck into this one. You're going to enjoy it. Rachel, it's been lovely talking to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Trina. Take care.
See you now. Bye-bye. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.